Everyone is speaking. As always, it's your host, Renisha.
Hey, this is your girl, Chelsea.
Hey, it's Jordan.
Hello, it's Natalia.
Man, do we have a good episode coming for you guys today. But before we get started, we're going to do a little bit of a mental check for this week. All right, how's everyone's doing?
Awful. Absolutely awful. Okay. But
any good weeks at least?
No.
Silence.
Surviving. Surviving is
the
thing.
Something we will work on, or we're just looking forward to the next week. I see.
There we go.
Little man Linux is not feeling it either today.
Shout out our little boy Linux.
Right. we're future superstar.
Exactly.
In the making.
We're just gonna say right now that Melanie speaking had him on first for his first minute.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Okay. Right. What is this, 2021? We're doing it. But boy, I'm super excited for our guest today, guys.
Like, super excited.
Let's give a warm welcome to our guest, Ashley Evans.
Woo! Hello.
And of course, little man Linux.
That's a classic.
Well, we don't want to throw it on the ground, do we? Okay.
He wants it on the ground.
Right. Linux has his own mic, and
he has the attitude for it already.
He does.
I see what you did there.
But let's go ahead and introduce our guest here. Ashley Evans is a City Council member ward, a mother, a humanist, and an activist all within one. I mean, she's just a well-rounded woman. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Yes. So we're going to go ahead and get started. What brought you to Clarksville?
My dad was in the military. That's a story we hear very often here.
Yeah.
So I came when I was 10, turning 11. And I've basically been here ever since. I had a little break where we moved back to Iowa, but we came back, so.
Okay, so I have to ask, because I feel like, you know, everyone moves. No, mm-hmm. Majority of us. You're a cousin of the military, but what is your school alumni?
Northeast High School.
Ooh. Yeah. Gotta say Wildcats over here.
Right.
Wildcats in the room, but okay, that's awesome. So we know that you are one of the helpers of your network here is the Kaleidoscope. Right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so Kaleidoscope Network is a safe space for the local LGBTQIA population here. Anybody is welcome. Our goal is to provide support for children and adults in the community, as well as provide education, resources, and things like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we've had some startups, but we're trying to be more permanent. That's why it's kind of been slow with Kaleidoscope, just because we're trying to do everything right so that we're here in the community for a while.
Yeah.
If not forever, we would like to be.
But definitely. And I just want to note, I mean, Ashley here, she is the youngest woman that was elected, and she's also part of the LGBT. Is it IA plus?
Yes.
Community to be elected to the City Council.
And proud. I will scream it from rooftops.
Yes. We need more people like you in Clarksville.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to like point out that the fact that you got elected goes to show that Clarksville is diverse and needs people like you in the City Council. Because, I mean, we've watched and we've been to one. And you guys... Yeah, City Council meetings. You guys can't see my face.
But you can hear it.
But it was an experience.
It was. Yes, it was. I feel like it was very eye-opening to sit. That was my first City Council meeting of any kind. And just to sit and know, like, these are where the decisions are made. Mm-hmm. And to see voices like yours speaking out for people who don't normally have a voice in that room. Mm-hmm. And even seeing how in a lot of ways you were outnumbered being that voice in the room for the people who aren't there. So I think it's important for all of us to get more active in our city councils because like that's where the decisions are made for us that impact us immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I will say, I like that you did the call to action for support, because I feel like a lot of times people want to get involved, but I mean, it's overwhelming. Like, you can't go to every city council meeting.
Right.
And you can't know everything they're talking about as, like, a normal – I mean, you can, but it's a lot of work. And let's be honest. I mean, we're lazy. I'm lazy.
And we have jobs. And we have jobs. And we have kids.
It's so much easier to keep up with kind of, like, our federal politics opposed to our local politics, mm-hmm. just because this is, like, the realm of where we're living, and it's – not to say like it's mundane, but it's like you get so caught up in your own life that mm-hmm. you're living here, and you don't, you know, see too many headlines or anything locally. Mm-hmm. You'll get a notification on your phone saying that the president did blah blah blah, mm-hmm. but you won't get one that says Mayor Pitts or Durrett did
X.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You have to like be a local for that, and sometimes they put it in our like local portal now.
But oh, yeah. Also, it's just exhausting because, like, when you are constantly feeding your brain with the federal politics and things that are happening, it's like, all right, I don't want to hear any more from, like, what's going on locally, because yeah. at that point, you're, like, mentally exhausted, and mm-hmm. it's just another thing that's, like, right here.
Yeah.
Yay.
But I also feel like local politics tend to be less polarizing. It seems to me like there's a little bit more gray area. There's a little bit more wiggle room versus like, I'm going to stand over here because everything you want, I'm completely opposed, and vice versa.
Absolutely. But the thing is, like, being local, it's like people still know like what side of the spectrum politically that you lean on anyway, mm-hmm. even though like city council is supposed to be nonpartisan. Everybody knows that I'm a progressive, and they automatically don't like my decisions, even though the person that they support made the same decision. Yeah. I'm a progressive, so like, screw you. I'm yeah. gonna name call you under this little thread on Facebook. So
spill the tea.
Well, I mean, how do you cope with that? Because you are kind of being thrusted into this public yeah. eye, from being like, you know, a regular person in Clarksville. Mm-hmm. Now you have this platform. How are you taking that when people are giving you hate and vitriol like that?
Yeah, so I kind of like wind it down. I've had to be off Facebook for the most part for the last few weeks, just because I, you know, it does get overwhelming. And, you know, with my mental illness, sometimes things are kind of amplified. So you can have 100 people tell you how good you're doing, and then one person call you like gross, nasty names.
Yeah.
And it just like replays in your head all forever.
That 100, and I don't know why mm-hmm. it does that, but I feel
you. Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's like you have all these people, but this one person is just like right there in the back of your head. So I kind of just like tune out sometimes when I've had a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I suffer from like depression, really bad anxiety anyway, so it's a lot, and I try to be really transparent with that, especially on my Facebook, because that is the platform that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just, that's what I do. I tap out.
Yeah, you take that time away, you do your self-care, come back to it, because I feel like like, did anybody prepare you for that kind of aspect when you were saying, oh, I think I'm going to run, I think I'm going to do this?
No. It was extremely hard. Like, when I was running, like I said, with my mental health, and there were a couple times where I kind of reached a really big dip and was unsure if it was even worth it, or if I should even be continuing. But I got up and continued door knocking and like kept pushing, because I was like, I felt like I really needed to do it. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, I was going against two older white men, and I beat them, but also I'm like, oh, they split their votes too. So like that was kind of silly on their part.
It doesn't matter how you win.
Right.
Honestly, it doesn't matter how you win. You right. won.
That's how we do it in the South.
Yeah. But I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, I just like it just needed to happen. So, mm-hmm. That's why I kept pushing, and that's kind of what drove me. Even though, like, even to this day, I'm like, should I, like, do it? I don't know if I have the energy to keep doing this because, like, my husband is away and he's going to be away until December. And it's just, like, me and my son, and it's hard to get, like, childcare or I don't have that emotional support from my partner when I come home from, like, a council meeting or if someone calls me names online. Like, I don't have anybody to talk my trash with. Like, but here we are. Still here, still pushing. So,
and yet she persevered.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And we appreciate
I
that.
I think the fact that you're so transparent about it, I think is more strength, and I think is probably why the city council members are as nasty as they are. Even people on the internet are as nasty as you are, because people don't like, one, people don't like to be ignored, right? So if you tune them out when they're just throwing trash at you, then it, like, hypes them up, and they're like, oh, I gotta make this worse. And you're like, I'm not even, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you anymore? But, no, I love that you're super transparent about it, because there's so many people that deal with, like, anxiety, deal with, like, depression, and the fact that you're able to do that and say, like, okay, I know my limits. I know when to take time away. But then you don't stop doing what you're doing. And I think that's important, because I think a lot of times, I know with me and my anxiety, like, if I hit a point, I shut down. I'll turn it off. I won't talk to anybody for a while. Maybe, like, a few people I'll have, but then that's it. And sometimes I don't ever get back up to that same thing I was planning on doing. So I think I commend you for that, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because it's pretty hard, especially, like you said, when you don't have that emotional support. I know a lot, just from based off my job and what I do, I know a lot of women or men, depending who's gone, just come home, or, like you said, they only have maybe one or five kids at home, and they're just like, they feel like they never stop, even though they need time to themselves. Like, they need a moment where it's just like a breathing moment, yeah. So I think what you're doing is pretty great. How long does your term last?
So my term goes until next December. So December 2022. The election for my seat is going to be next November. I was technically, like, a special election because Bill Powers was in my seat. And then he left because he won his Senate race. And then Gary Norris was appointed to the seat. And so he was there until the next election, which was last year. And then I'm just finishing the term, basically.
So you're going to run again?
I honestly, probably not. Just because I feel like I have this certain space and certain amount of time where I have to try to do as many things as I can. And it's already been a lot. And it's kind of something where I'm so grateful to have this, like, seat and this voice and to be able to represent people, you know, that don't or actually haven't ever had a voice on city council. Like, if we're going to be really honest. I feel like I would have done my time in a sense. And I have other aspirations. I don't want to be a political, like, make a career out of politics or anything like that. I really like graphic design and that's what I want to do. But, yeah, I think it was just, like, not necessarily, like, an adventure in my life or anything. It's more so I'm already doing, like, this activism within my community and being there. Like, any protest that we had, I was there. And all the emails to all my representatives and just, like, being a voice in general. It was, like, the next step, and I saw the opportunity, and I was like, I'm going to go for it because we really need that here. And I just want to be, like, that example of young people can do this too. And I feel like I've shown that, and I've fulfilled my purpose in that aspect.
Absolutely.
So that's why I probably wouldn't.
I agree, because I remember when everyone was running. Mm-hmm. And I mean, granted, I didn't know you from Adam. but I saw your picture. And you had the colored hair. You were, you know, look like, from what I can see,
like the normal, like you said, white man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, she looked different. And I was like, wow, huh.
Clarksville's doing something.
Yeah, no, that was my thought process, too.
I agree. It was immediately like, I need to know who this person is. I need to know what. Well, first I was thinking, I need to know your politics before I get too excited. Because you can never be sure. I got to know your politics first. But it was very exciting to see, because I don't see women in my age group, especially not women in my age group. And to see you being openly, like you said, queer and proud, and to see the multicolored hair. And it was just things that I could see in you. And I was like, I guess you don't have to have this look in order to get into politics. Because I love politics. I am super into it. It makes my world go. It is enjoyable for me. But you rarely see people who are just, you know, to me, your average run-of-the-mill people. I always see you have to have the blonde hair, and it's got to be cut in this, like, crazy bob. And, like, you know, the suits. And you looked like a normal person that I would run into, like, at a bar or something. And
you probably would have.
Let's be honest here.
But just that normalcy and that familiarity almost instantly with just looking at your picture. And I think that does do something for people. I agree 100%, where you have opened the door, or at least mentally, where people are like, I don't have to look that way. I don't have to be, you know, 50 years with, you know, a doctoral degree. Like, I can be me and run, and I, you know, you have really good ideas, and you can make that work. And I don't think, at least locally, I've never seen that. And that was really refreshing to see on my little door knocker hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got one?
I did. I did. I don't know how I got one, because I'm definitely not in your ward.
Oh.
But you floated somehow.
Probably from Natalia.
Yeah, probably from one of these, too.
Well, we would withdraw for everybody. They would just give us, like,
literature in my car. I'm like, oh, okay.
Cool. I still have some in my trunk.
Well, Ashley, I did want to ask, even if you do leave the seat, what is things that you really want to see change in Clarksville, Tennessee?
I just want Clarksville to be more progressive and more inclusive, and not progressive in the sense of, you know, Democratic, or, you know, when you think of the Progressive Party, but progressive in the way of being more open to change. And
we're very stuck in our ways here.
Yeah.
I would definitely
and
say
more
that.
People realizing that, like, things are changing, things are more acceptable, and with, like, being queer and stuff. And just, I don't know.
Be better.
Be better. We have a really, really bad case of, like, old boy systems still here.
Absolutely.
There's even, like, new boy systems. Like, it's gross to have to sit and watch and kind of notice the patterns.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I didn't sign, like, non-disclosure. So it's just really gross to watch. And it's really disappointing when, like, I've lived here for several years, and, you know, I've come to acknowledge Clarksville as, like, a safe space for me. And I just, it's my home. So to kind of have an inside view of things that are happening in, like, our local government, or, like, being personal, like, being up and personal with, like, different patterns and, like, the way things work and how just nasty some people are. It's really discouraging.
And I think a lot of young people need to have that view that you've been able to see, and, like, open the door and, like, really see, okay, this is what we got going on in here. So what do you think young people can do to have to get the information that you have, or to like, how do I explain that better?
To get to know the information that you have, to be interested in it.
Yeah.
Because I know I have a little sister still, like, I can tell her everything I've seen or learned, and she'll still be like, it's not going to change, or what I say doesn't really matter, yada, 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 and I'm like, no, but it does.
I feel like in, like, this instance particularly, it's, like, it's really, like, when your teachers used to say, like, you have to be the change you want to see, it's true. Hmm. Because it's, when you're in, like, this in political environment and things have always been a certain way and right. you come in and shake some tables and, like, stir some stuff up, they notice.
Yeah.
And it makes them uncomfortable. Mm. So
I'm curious, would you ever, if you decide not to run again, would you ever coach somebody to take over your seat? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, if anybody is in Ward 11.
Yes.
Yeah, I like, you know, I had a mentor. I don't know if she wants me to say her name. On this podcast, because it was kind of like low key underground. I can tell you guys later.
Okay.
But yeah, she definitely taught me a lot and, you know, gave me a lot of insight. And honestly, she really kept me pushing a lot. Because there were a few times where I went to her and I was like, I just don't know anymore because it's, like, really getting to me. Mm-hmm. But she, you know, put that little light inside of me again that was like, no, you have a purpose and you really need to do this because it's what Clarksville needs and it's what people need in general that are going through the same experience at being young and living in Clarksville or being queer and not feeling like you have that representation. So I definitely want to mentor somebody who really wanted to run and be that support that they need, like my person was for me.
I love that. That's awesome. I'm just going to drop a little to our listeners. I'm trying to get Chelsea to run. Just saying.
I said that when I first met you.
She's like, ooh, that was
you heard her earlier. She was like, politics is my life.
I mean, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy politics.
We got to get rid of Wallace.
I'm not sure.
Oh, you live old?
He is my warden.
Sitting and listening to his opinions scared me.
It made me so irritated.
I'm your council person now. Okay.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Just hug me and make it better.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about him. We can also do that off the podcast. Maybe we'll drop that on a social media post.
Okay.
The story about Mr. Reed. Because he got me messed up. But see, that's where my fear is when it comes to politics. I have a flippant mouth. And I don't know if people irritate me to a certain point, am I going to be able to use the education that I was given to articulate myself.
Yeah, it's definitely been hard for me to hold my tongue and kind of act with decorum, even though I've been called out for not having that a couple times by the mayor himself.
Okay,
but... Can we just gotta vote him out? I'm sorry. Yeah. I said it.
I just think that it's very weird to have decorum and it makes my physical being uncomfortable to have decorum with people who do not value anything about my personhood.
Yeah.
And so it is hard for me to do this, what my mother would call nice nasty. Where I'm smiling and I'm being pleasant, but I'm also like internally cursing you out and like damning you to hell.
I mean, I hate to say it this way, but one thing that he who shall not be named, that is gone now after 4 years, did teach us is that you don't necessarily have to have, I mean, we want decorum, but it's not required. And I think we put a lot of extra pressure on ourselves to fit that box. And I think for people, I mean, like you said, Ashley, that don't or and Chelsea, that you get, like, if he doesn't, or he, I say automatically he, if they don't automatically respect you for the person you are, why do you have to use decorum, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, I'm not going to play by your rules if you're not even showing me the bare minimum of what is to be required to use these rules. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So I say, just say it. Good media. I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Because there's no amount of decorum that can make you a white Republican male. Like, there's no amount of.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm hiding it. So I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be something we think about and talk about.
Definitely.
So go back a little bit, just the backtrack. Mm-hmm. You say you are part of the queer community, correct?
Yes.
And so, with also being in, you know, the city council ward, has that ever been brought up, like thrown in your face at any kind of moment?
Not in a way that's like homophobic.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Right.
And more than I expected.
My back, to be honest. But in a way where. It's like, well, I don't care who she sleeps with. Nah, 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 nah. It's okay. Because of blah, blah, you know, some other reason to not like me.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, to be honest with you, that's pretty shocking for this.
Yeah. I have, you know, tried to advocate in my seat for the queer community. Like, okay. I've discussed with Chief Cockerell. About creating like an LGBTQIA liaison for CPD. He said that he doesn't think that it's justifiable. I have the receipts.
Right. Hold on. Hold on.
I am going to be talking to the HR director, Will Wyatt, on Tuesday actually about our MEI scores, which is from the human relations? Commission as well. HRC. Anyway, it's a different HRC than what we have in Clarksville.
Okay.
But we got a 17 out of 100 on that for inclusion.
I believe it.
Yeah. So I'd like to create a LGBTQ liaison position for the city office, as well as find a way to include gender-affirming surgery in our insurance, our city insurance. Right now, it does cover, like, hormone therapy and mental health check and everything like that. It just doesn't include gender-affirming surgery because in many eyes, it's cosmetic when actually it's life-saving. So that's one thing I'd like to do. We're also just going to discuss how we can achieve our goals. I've been looking at Cedar Rapids, which is where I'm from, they got a 100 on their score. So,
oh wow!
I've been kind of looking into their legislation and finding what I can to maybe kind of implement here. It's a little bit different, just because they are metro, so things work a little differently.
Okay, so as an outsider who's not part of any kind of like council or political, what could we do to help that?
Just email like your representatives and the mayor, and you know, be involved in council sessions. You can come to public comment and say XYZ, I support this, I really think Clarksville needs to be moving forward. So for public comment, it doesn't necessarily have to be anything that's on the agenda. You can just come and make it known publicly, put it on the record. And those are a couple ways you can do, you know, your own kind of local activism with that. Excuse me, make your voice heard.
Okay. I think that's good to know for those, like I said, the first day when I went to your city council meeting, I was like, I really want to say what I have to, but she's like, you can't just walk up to that podium.
No.
I was like, I can't. You're short, because I got legs.
You have to actually email Sylvia, who is our clerk, and be put on the roster for the public comments. I believe it's like 2 days before the meeting you have to get it in by or something like that. I can get you like the correct amount of time.
Yeah, I think that would be nice for not just only myself, but other people who feel mm-hmm. the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I think I have something to say, and I'm not going to just sit on this bench and listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can say, I mean, we've had bigoted people come up there and scream about Black Lives Matter and conspiracy theories, and they were just allowed, and I just sit there in shock, like, you're really going to let this go on?
Fun.
Definitely would have been tackled by the security guard at the door. Like, it's football. But I got shoulders. I'll be that quarterback.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as I've seen and kind of observed, like, pretty much anything goes. Like, whatever you want to talk about. You can talk about.
We're excited.
Are
we going to plan an event?
That's what mm-hmm. I'm hearing right now.
Okay.
We're behind.
I'm like, we're behind so hard. Yeah. All the things that we.
If council people are allowed to speak bigoted mm-hmm. and gross and nasty and like racist, to be like really frank, I think that anybody should be allowed to say whatever they want in regard to public comment. And for the record, the mayor didn't stop him from doing that. But he called me out because I made a TikTok with the word pussy in it.
I remember that.
And I didn't even sing it. It was just a song.
Well, you know.
Priorities, dude. Get off my TikTok.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, also. Get off of my TikTok. It's weird. It's like getting a call in from your job like, hey, we saw your Facebook post.
Right.
I'm not at work.
And there was no backlash for what Wallace was saying on this. Like, I mean, Tennessee Holler did post something.
How did I know it was Wallace?
Yeah.
I knew it was him. She didn't even say the name. And I was like, it's my councilman.
I mean, that's also an example of like favoritism and like, I'm going to accept what I want because like I'm in this mayor's seat. And I thought you were better than that. Honestly, when I voted for Joe Pitts, I thought he was better. And
I definitely agree. I think another city council member has definitely told us, like, we see one side of the mirror, but you guys see another side. Mm-hmm. And just going back to the Juneteenth event, and when he came up to us and whatnot, I definitely would have never known all the things that I'm learning about our mayor. You know, because you're right. I only see the handshaking, how are you? You know,
didn't he abstain from that vote?
Which one?
The to make Juneteenth the federal, or not federal, the city holiday?
I do believe he did abstain.
I think he did abstain.
I think he didn't have the cojones like Wallace did to just vote it down. Because Wallace voted it down.
I know.
Every turn. I watched it and I was like, this.
Yeah. I can't, I honestly can't remember how he voted on that. But I mean, it's on record. You can go.
Right. Yeah, you can definitely go pull it up.
So, going back to you, the network. You say you are the co-founder, is that correct, of the Kaleidoscope Network?
No, I'm just like a person involved, like a mentor, kind of, or somebody who is helping, you know, create the foundation.
Okay.
My friend Tori Fritz is the founder.
Okay.
And he actually is the one working with, you know, getting the 501c3 put together. We have a board of directors, which there's 6 or 7 of us right now that are the board of directors, and we have taken applications to expand that into like different sections, like so directors that are in charge of fundraising, directors that are in charge of events, outreach, things like that. So that's what I am. I'm just myself as Ashley Evans, a part of the board for Kaleidoscope.
Okay. Gotcha.
And sweet. So you guys have been out for a little while, correct?
Just a little bit as a more of a support system right now, because our 501c3 hasn't gone through yet.
Okay.
So have you guys had or going to have any events coming up?
We were going to have a paint at Debo's Gallery for a fundraiser. Okay. That was canceled. I believe we probably will try to start that again. It's just a little gray with fundraising right now. So our main support is on Facebook, on our Facebook pages.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah. You guys are looking for support, whether that's money or just people coming in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And our long-term goal is to have, like, a physical establishment, like a safe space.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
So where can people go to support you? How can they support
you? So they can go on Facebook and look for the Kaleidoscope Network. There's two pages. There's one that's just the Kaleidoscope Network. That's our main Facebook page where we post just about the network.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Kaleidoscope Network LGBTQIA page where it's a private group. And that's where you'll find, like, support. There's a – I don't even know how many people are following the page right now. But there's
– I'm a part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few people, and that's kind of where the queer community in Clarksville has, you know, a space to – just talk with each other.
Mm-hmm. Have you been getting people to come to you guys for just the support or just to have that talk?
Yeah, for the most part. Okay. Our Facebook page has, you know, some traffic, and there have been people posting about their birthday party and if anybody wants to come. And it's just like a small community that you find really on any Facebook page you're a part of, but it's like specific to Clarksville, and you know that these people are a part of the same community you are.
Because growing up here, there was no groups like that, at least like that are trying to have a solid foundation here.
Right.
And trying to reach out to the younger people here. There's nothing like that. I've had a lot of transgender friends who have been doing it all on their own and walking into their classrooms and like hating everything. And me being pansexual, it's just been like a closeted.
Same.
You know, like, there's no real space for that. And having a space on Facebook or in a building, is really special to have in Clarksville. Really special to have in Clarksville.
And you know, that's our goal. We're still a little bit a while away from that, but it's, you know, something that we really want, and we want to be able to offer to our community. And it's also a really big resource, you know. Mm-hmm. That's somewhere where if somebody needs to sleep for the night, they can sleep there. Like, we want it in a home instead of, like, a more corporate, stationary building.
Mm-hmm.
So just so that we can do that.
That's amazing.
And correct me if I'm wrong, there's only, that I know, one LGBTQIA plus bar or club here in
Russia? That's Fusion.
Fusion.
Yeah.
And do you guys have any connection with those?
No, not yet. I do have a friend that told me about the owner of Fusion, and they'd like to kind of get together, but it's not a step that we've taken yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know when I went, but it was a long time ago, and it was because of a friend. He was performing. And I went there to support, and I was like, I've been here for X amount of time, and I never know. Like, I pass Riverside almost every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I've never noticed that it was over there. So Fusion is on Riverside if no one else knew. But I was wondering, have you guys ever flowered? Which I think will be a great also space to use.
Oh, yeah. Especially for our adult members in the community, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, it's not child-friendly.
No. No.
But, yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, we'd be willing to look into. It's just we haven't taken that step yet. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. Because you don't have to keep driving to Nashville.
Right.
You know?
And I do want to put it out there that Fusion, I believe every Friday, has the prep clinic van that does free HIV and AIDS testing and gives out PrEP, which is a preventative. It's like birth control for HIV. And I believe they do that every Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, of course.
That's amazing.
Look at Clarksville.
Look at Clarksville.
So if you need to go get tested, hang out at Fusion on Fridays. Go get tested.
Yeah.
It's important.
Go get tested. Yeah, because Clarksville is pretty high on the...
We are so high.
It's so bad. Yeah, it's actually kind of scary being a single woman. I'm like, ooh, it's a lot going around out here. Yeah, that's rough. But moving back to topic at hand. So, obviously, you're in the city council, and we've been discussing that. What is, like, one of the biggest points of contention currently in the city council? Like, what is something that's, you know, just very difficult to pass or to uphold? Or...
So, recently it was the budget. Right now it's kind of a cool-off period, so there's nothing really, difficult right now.
Okay.
We are having our first meeting for the legislative committee on Tuesday. I believe that's at 1 p.m. And it basically is going to be a committee. I'm on the committee. There's a few other city council members where we gather and come up with legislation that we want to pass to the state, basically saying Clarksville supports this. Whether that be, like, we need the funding for this street, like, it's not on your list, but we really need it. Or, hey, we don't support this transgender bill that you guys just passed. Mm-hmm. Can you, like, retract that? Because it's gross. Mm-hmm. So it's that. That's a big thing that's coming up.
Okay.
And I believe we're going to have meetings through September, and then it's going to be turned in. There were some charter revisions that were postponed for July, but I haven't seen any agenda where those are on or any workshops that have been set up for that.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm definitely, you know, a person that will smash right into a brick building. Like, I will bring it to the table.
Yeah, of course. We need more people.
Yes. I like making people uncomfortable, and I'm willing to do it.
I think that's essential. The best way to get things done, when you bring it to the table, because you can't hide behind no comment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you have to voice your opinion, and that opinion goes on the record. And, you know, people who are voting for you deserve to know what those opinions are. And then after they know your opinions, they can go on from there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Bring it all to the table.
So if anybody else wanted to learn more information, whether that's regarding the kaleidoscope or you in general, where can they do that?
Well, they can find me on Facebook at Evans411. They could go to the Kaleidoscope Network Facebook page. And then if anybody would like to sign up for my newsletter, I send at least 2 out per month. One after the regular session, which is the voting session. I tell everybody how I voted, why I voted that way. And then one before the executive session, which basically is a rundown of what is on the agenda. They can find that on the city website. You can just Google Clarksville City Council members, and it'll take you to a page. You click on my picture, and then there's a link to sign up to my newsletter right there.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I love that you're actually taking the time as well as to tell me why you voted that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. I'm like, I really want to be transparent. Yeah. Even if people don't agree with how I voted, I want people to know.
Well, I just want to, on the behalf of Kelly speaking, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I think what you're doing for Clarksville in general is absolutely amazing. You're definitely, it's changing the narrative, and I'm super excited to see what Clarksville is going to be. Whether that's in like 6 months or to a year. I hope that I see you. I know you say you're not going to run, but maybe something would change. But even so, if you have a mentee with you, I would love to see what happens.
Yeah, of course.
I'm excited. I love this.
All right. Don't forget to follow us on all of our pages. Melanin Speaking. That's on Facebook, Instagram, the Twitters, all of them and above. If you want to email us, we are at melaninspeaking4@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.